This program's called Live and Local, Your Connection to Local Music. And we have a great treat for you on the program today. Banjo player Buddy Wachter is in town to play with the Danville Symphony Orchestra Saturday night, tomorrow night at 7:30, a program called With Strings Attached. And the banjo's strings are just four of those. Quite a varied program. Jeremy Swirling conducts the concert. Banjo Buddy Wachter will be playing with the rhythm section for part of the time, with the full orchestra for part of the time, and the orchestra itself playing for part of the time. A nice program. And the best part for today's show on Live and Local is that Buddy Wachter is in the studio with us to play some live solo banjo. Buddy Wachter to come on Live and Local on FM 90.9. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and you heard the Ruslan and Ludmilla Overture by Mikhail Glinka. That's going to be on the program by the Danville Symphony Orchestra Saturday night at 7:30 at Danville High School Auditorium. Jeremy Swirling conducts, and the guest soloist for the program, which is called With Strings Attached, referring at least in part to the guest soloist, is banjo player Buddy Wachter. He was with Champaign-Urbana Symphony within the last couple of seasons, and he's with the Danville Symphony on Saturday night. And at this moment, he is with us in the studio here at FM 90.9 on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Pleased to welcome Buddy Wachter. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Kevin. Nice to be back.
Well, it's I am sorry to say that I missed you when you were with the CU Symphony, and so I'm really excited to hear you play today, and we're going to have you do that as often as we can in the next 35 minutes or so. But for our listeners, why don't you just begin, if you would, by giving us an introduction to Bud Wachter.
Thank you.
So I gather you're calling that a Southern medley of some kind.
Southern medley, yeah. We'll be doing one tomorrow night.
Buddy Wachter playing the banjo here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. He's appearing with the Danville Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Danville High School Auditorium. So how did you come to the banjo?
Well, long story. I had an uncle who was a guitar player, bass player, ute player, all the fretted stringed instruments. And he had these things lined up along the wall at his house. So as a kid, 5 or 6 years old, I'd walk by and pluck them. And the sound of the banjo always fascinated me. So I started with guitar lessons at maybe the age of 8. And that naturally went into mandolin, to banjo, to bass, and you know other stringed instruments. So it's been a long time.
Now, not everybody would say that the natural progression would be from guitar to mandolin to all of these other things. Did you just have that memory of when you were 5 or 6 playing
those things? Yeah, it was the natural progression down the line of the instruments on his wall is what it was, yeah.
And how much have you, I mean, what have you done besides play the banjo professionally, or is that what you've done?
Well, guitar, bass, sort of played them all equally for many years. And since 1992, I sort of set out on this banjo career, especially playing with symphony orchestras as a guest soloist. And used to do jazz tours years ago as a bass player, as a guitar player, and so on, backing up other people, and did 20 years of that and sort of settled in on this. So as strange as that sounds, but part of it has to do with some osteoarthritis in my hands and the size of the fingerboard and all that other stuff. But
and you found it easier on the banjo than on the bass?
Way, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Way easier to play. It's a smaller neck and a lot less string pressure.
Now, I've never really given this any thought. I actually used to play bass myself, but I've never played any other string instrument. I'm trying to imagine if you're... I would think it would be harder to do the smaller movements, but apparently not, huh? More minute movements with your left hand.
It's more technical, but it's less wear and tear on your thumb joint.
Because it's smaller muscle firings maybe or something like
that. You can edit this out, but you've right away tapped into something you don't want to tell folks on the radio, and it's that I've got horrific osteoarthritis in both thumb joints. And I play this instrument because it's a smaller scale, smaller fingerboard. The technique on it is tremendous, but that hurts you a lot less than squeezing a larger neck with heavier gauge strings like you do on bass
right.
and guitar. Yeah, it's an unpleasant thing for listeners to hear right off. So we don't tell them that.
You know, it ups the sympathy factor.
Yeah, come on out and see this poor guy.
Just on top of the virtuosity that you already bring in the first place. So where are you from originally?
In Baltimore.
And you're there now?
Yeah, still, always.
And what is there about Baltimore that kept you from leaving?
Older parents. My mom and dad had me in their 40s, and I was an only kid. So I never really had the heart to leave. I left for periods of time, and lived in various places in the world, in Germany, in India, in Brazil, but always ended up coming back, especially when my parents got quite older and sick.
So what were you doing in Germany?
There on a tour, and I fell in love, as I did all those places I mentioned.
Is that right?
Which it was a good reason to move. And Brazil, a lot for the music scene. And India, because I loved hiking and was exploring Nepal at the time, and also fell in love there. So
you
typical musician's life.
With people in addition to the place.
Oh, yeah, the whole culture, the whole thing, especially Brazil, yeah.
How long were you there in Brazil?
A year.
And what made you then leave if you were that much
in love? I woke up one morning on the beach with my loved one, realizing that unless I came back to be with my parents and take care of them, that I'd probably never leave Brazil. Because it was so perfect and ideal and such an opening for one's soul to be there.
And have you no siblings?
No brothers or sisters.
Is that right?
And parents are dead. But at home, I have a 2-year-old. My wife at 47 had this little guy. And we both were, you know, doing our careers and traveling. And she said 3 years ago, "Did you ever think about having kids?" The answer was no. I mean, we're too busy. How could we do that? And we tried, and we've got this wonderful little guy who's 2 years and 3 months old.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and it's just changed our lives. Just fantastic. Do you have kids?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it just opens every door and window to your heart. Then you get yourself back from them three times over. We used to think our lives were very three-dimensional, having traveled and done all the things that we've done, all the wonderful things. Then you have a kid and you know the secret that everybody else has been trying to tell you, and you see life was sort of one-dimensional without that. You know?
Well, I've thought about this very often because I work with kids in a youth orchestra, and I have a godson who is, I think he's seven, and I'm mentoring a kid through one of the high school programs here, and I often have wondered, is this something I would want to do on a permanent basis? And then when I see people with their kids, is when I really wonder about it. But so
yeah.
in both directions.
Well, you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, all I can tell you about the 2 year and 3 month old is that we've managed to raise him okay. That's all we know. But Jeremy's got older kids. Our friends all have older kids in high school, and they've been through all these years of the kids growing up.
And Jeremy is Jeremy Swirling, who's the conductor of the Danville Symphony, which is actually the occasion for your being here. Buddy Wachter is my guest on Live and Local. He'll be playing with the Danville Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at 7:30 on a program they're calling With Strings Attached. So do you mind if I ask, that your wife, is she one of those loves that you met on your travels?
No, unfortunately, but
completely independent?
I did meet her on the plane. I did meet her on an airplane. And we had a very civilized hour and 15-minute conversation. She had been living in Africa. I was in India. She had just hiked Kilimanjaro. I had just hiked the Annapurna Circuit in Nepal. And we had this wonderful talk, and just I was with another woman at the time, not on the plane, but going to see her. And I never forgot this woman. She was the most wonderful woman I had ever met. And then I broke up with the gal that I was going with, and several years later, I was still thinking about this woman I had met on the plane. Then I was guest soloist with Baltimore Symphony. And there's a knock at the dressing room door at intermission. And I open the door, and there's that woman from the plane standing there. She said, "Did you get married?" And I said, "You found me." And I just held out my arms, and we both cried. And we've been together since that night, ever since.
That's incredible.
It really is. She found me. So that's how that happened. Yeah.
Now I keep waiting for some story like that to happen to me. But
to me,
happened.
I know. But my life, it seems like that. It's charmed. It's been pretty
I actually
lucky.
Just read another story similar to that, which I won't even go into, here at the university, where the columnist for the Daily Illini, which is a student paper, ended up sort of re-meeting his future wife through writing this newspaper column. It was really very, very touching. So I've gotten two touching marriage stories in the space of 24 hours.
Which check back with me in about 10 years, and we'll see when Ryan's in high school how things are going.
Yeah, exactly. Well, before we get too far off into this complete tangent of relationships, we'll talk about your relationship with the banjo later on, but why don't we hear another product of that relationship?
Let me explain first off to the folks that what they're listening to is a four-string banjo. The most common kind today is five-string, and the five-string is different not so much in the number of strings from four, but in the way you play it. Because on five-string banjo, you put picks on the thumb and the two fingers, the index and the middle finger, and you do roll patterns, what are called these things. But I'm playing a four-string banjo with a flat pick, so it doesn't have that high-drone fifth string. And you play it differently. It's more like a jazz guitar. You can strum fast enough on one string to create the effect of a tremolo and add other notes in at what seems to be almost the same time, and it sounds like two instruments. I'll give you a tune, for example. Thank you. And we actually call that a duo style, where you're doing that fast little tremolo on one string and picking out other notes too. And I sort of stumbled on that by accident after playing it on classical guitar and wondering if there were a way to do it with a flat pick. And I stumbled on this when I was playing at Shakey's Pizza Parlor back in college in 1972 and sort of developed it into a whole style. So I like playing that way a lot. It's not your typical banjo stuff, but it's musical, you know.
Well, I remember the Shakey's Pizza Parlors. Are they still around?
I think it's gone.
Is it gone?
The whole phenomenon's gone.
Well, I probably one of my early experiences with the banjo was seeing people play the banjo on the Shakey's Pizza commercials.
Part of the thing.
Yeah. You mentioned classical guitar. How much have you done with that? I mean, actually done classical as opposed to what other kinds of
music? My guitar stuff was more jazz than classical, but I played some classical, didn't take it to a high level, but played some. And I've adapted some of those pieces like... A lot of it adapts very well to banjo.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's different than what you'd expect on banjo.
Well,
yeah.
And you said right at the beginning of the conversation that you started, well, I think you said 1992, to appear with symphony orchestras. What gave you that idea, and how did you get started with that?
I've always heard music that way, and regardless of what instrument I would be playing. And
what do you mean by that way?
I heard it more as an orchestral thing. Or a small group thing in jazz, although I played with bands, different size bands and things. And I like to write for orchestra too, and I was just beginning to do that and sketching out things, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to get stuff that I'm writing played and to play banjo along with that. So the interesting part is to come up with the arrangements and to integrate the banjo into them. Not so much like they're an accompaniment for solo banjo, but more like people get to experience the banjo sometimes as playing the melody, harmony lines, as a strong rhythm instrument. So people experience the whole gamut of what's possible with banjo. And that's why I found the orchestra pretty fascinating. And I was pretty burned out at that time doing banjo with small groups. So, that's pretty much it.
Well, you're doing on the Danville Symphony Concert, among other things, a part of a Bach concerto in which you're playing the second violin part,
Yeah. One
of the concertos for two violins, and the first violin part will be played by the Danville Symphony's concert master, Margaret Dugdale, who's a wonderful player on her own, the Fiddler on the Roof medley, a Stephen Foster medley, a Hungarian Fantasy that includes some music by Sarasate, and we should say that the orchestra on its own is also going to do Hungarian Rhapsody by Franz Liszt. This is the one you actually brought with you your host Jeremy Swirling. Unfortunately, he's not talking to us because he's mad at us.
Very softly,
he has no voice right now. So he's feeding me some notes here, and I guess this is that Hungarian Rhapsody is the one that showed up on the Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Yeah.
He's nodding his head over here silently. And I'm trying to remember which one that is exactly. You're not playing that, so people will have to just check it out and find out. I was poking around on your website. Let me just stop and say to our listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and it's FM 90.9. And we have the rare treat of having a live banjo virtuoso with us in the studio. He's going to be playing with the Danville Symphony Saturday night, Buddy Wachter. And I was poking around on your website, buddywachter.com. That's spelled, by the way, W-A-C-H-T-E-R. And it's really a fun website. I like the section that you have in there called Insights. where you have little quotations and other bits of earthy advice on friendship, learning, some essays, stories, and you give an opportunity for people to submit things. Where did you come up with that? That's not the usual thing one sees on a banjo website.
Well, you have to remember, the lion's share of people that would check out the website outside of presenters are banjo players. And after talking with players for many, many years, you find that there's this ebb and flow, the ups and downs to a music career. And I just began posting things that I found helpful, little readings that could give some direction during low time sometimes. And folks send things in. Here's another one. And I pop it up there. So, yeah, just useful things that were helpful to me, aphorisms, bits of wisdom. Yeah, don't stop practicing, you know, things like that. No matter how horrible it gets, put the gun down. You
know. Is that in there too?
No, not that one.
Nobody submitted that one?
It's been submitted in many different forms, that one. Why should I bother to continue playing an instrument? By professionals. Been beaten down enough being on the road. It's a miserable life. It's a horrible life of drugs and alcohol. And, you know, we don't take care of ourselves. It's a career that's not conducive to good mental and emotional health and all that. Okay, well, let's say something nice about it and put an aphorism in the website, you know.
So what are some of the adversities you've had to overcome in your career?
Most recently, osteoarthritis in both thumbs, which is painful to play. And happily, we found out that that doesn't have to get worse and worse, that you can maintain. And if you don't overplay, you can keep playing and do well, just not as long. And where I used to play 8 or 10 hours a day in jazz festivals and so on, now I play my hour and I'm fine. So nothing's affected. The technique is better than ever. And of course, having a baby, the ideas are better than ever. So thank heavens that hasn't been taken away. But being on the road too long, and that for all of us, because I used to be right at 17 already, before college, I was traveling 320 days a year. And I looked at the old guys who were traveling with those groups, and I'd watch them staring out the window, kind of edged out with these blank looks. And I thought, I'm not going to get like that. So I quit the road after 2 years and went back to college. And you know, so that I saw that right off was not a good thing. But then I got back into music again and touring, being away too long, and feeling like a second-class citizen, half-baked, because I didn't have a family and everybody else did, and it seemed like the right thing to do. And I remember touring for years and years and years and putting all my energy, as many of us do, into nothing but the music and the instrument. It would be playing, writing, you know, working for other people, because a larger part of what I've done most of my life and outside of, you know, playing instruments has been producing people's projects in the studio and writing all kinds of music, from old stuff, new stuff, and techno rock and all kinds of jazz stuff and black funk dance music. And I just kind of woke up and decided, you know, I've put my whole life in this, and I think maybe family would be a good thing. And when we had Ryan, our 2-year-old, it just flipped the whole thing around, and we do family now. And I'm probably traveling at the most 10 days a month for concerts, and that's it, where I used to be away a lot. And it feels great to be home.
So. Yeah, for a traveling musician, that's...
Yeah, it is.
That's and not Cindy very knew much. That sounds pretty comfortable.
Yeah, and Cindy knew when she married me that I was a traveling musician and made a living that way. And she couldn't expect that if we were going to have a family that I'd just stay home and raise a child. Where am I going to work? Especially if you become fairly well-known and you're playing nice venues. And if you're left to work in your own hometown, you work 2 gigs a week for $125 each and you go broke. You couldn't do it. So happily, you know, with the venues that I play, I've been able to maintain a good music career, playing fewer times a month and stay home, and we're having a ball doing family at home. So that was an obstacle to making all that work. And
I was actually going to ask you about the hometown thing, because I grew up in southern Pennsylvania, less than 2 hours from Baltimore, but I never really spent any time in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And so I'm not very aware of what the music scene is like there. What is it like there for somebody who plays a banjo particularly?
Yeah, well, banjo, forget it. There's nothing. There are some traditional jazz bands there, but like in most towns across the states, you have a traditional jazz band contingent in every town. And work is very slim. They might work once a month, and that would be your banjo gig there. Do you know? And we were talking earlier about the gig scene. When I grew up, and this was in the 60s and 70s, playing music around Baltimore before I started touring and left, I was working for different band leaders and bookers, playing every imaginable kind of music from rock and roll, to all kinds of ethnic music, polkas and Ukrainian dances, and of course playing guitar with the Air Force Strolling Strings. On Saturday nights we had Sid Cowan's 16-piece rumba band at the Baltimore Country Club. All kinds of wonderful venues for live music. And I remember playing bass and guitar. I was basically working 12 to 15 gigs a week. Now, in these times, the busiest guy in town, a piano or a bass player, if he's working 3 gigs a week, he's real busy. And not making that much more money than we did way back then.
That doesn't sound that much different from Champaign-Urbana, which is where our radio station is located.
I say this one because I'm traveling and I talk to people across the country, and I'm always talking to musician friends all around the country. And, of course, in Europe, too, where there's the same jazz scene that I'm a part of. And I'm always talking to these folks, and it's the same everywhere. So it's, and the economy's hurt us some. I mean, for folks that are gigging, it's tough. For me, doing, solo spots with orchestras, that's down. This is a very downer conversation, isn't it?
Well,
it affects all of us in some way.
Let's bring it up a little bit.
It affects all of us in some way. But the truth about it is the music's never been better. The quality of musicianship, the kids, it's just better. We just need more places to play.
Well, I always think of banjo music as generally being an up kind of music. Now, you've redefined banjo music in that you've expanded it into so many other things. But how about playing for something that would be sort of typical up banjo?
Typical upbeat four-string banjo.
This
four-string banjo is relatively new compared to five-string. The five-string banjo goes way back in American history to the beginning. But the roots of it go to Africa, West Africa, China, all over the place. Here, the early banjo music was gut strings on a gourd instrument played with bare fingers. So we're talking an instrument that's a couple of thousand years old played with bare fingers. In the 1940s, Earl Scruggs and his buddies began playing with finger picks. But that's five-string music played with fingers. So thousands of years played with fingers. Played with a pick is relatively new. That only started around the turn of the 20th century. And what guys were doing back then was playing rhythm things like this. They'd be playing with a jazz band, and a banjo was an integral part of every jazz band at that time, playing rhythm, and dance bands as well. Just doing this sort of thing. Players in vaudeville, who guys like Eddie Peabody and Monty Montana and Roy Smek, who were big names in banjo and vaudeville, took that rhythmic style and put it into a fast, strummy style that had the melody in it as well. So it was both rhythm and melody. They called it chord melody style. And they developed, over time, a very fast, strummy style, like this. That's the style that sort of brought the four-string banjo through the years. Let me qualify. In 1929, with the Depression, the music changed from a two-beat music to a four-beat music. Between 1929 and 1931, tubas were replaced by basses. Banjos were replaced by guitars. The banjos got put in the closet. You didn't hear them through the Depression or after, until a revival of that 1920s music in the mid-50s. So you didn't hear banjos at all, but there were a couple of players that kept this strummy 1920s style alive all through the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And the major guy was Eddie Peabody, and that's the way he played that fast strummy style.
And did you grow up listening to any particular one of these guys, or just
all of
you
them.
Got exposed to everything?
All of them, and a I grew up listening to all kinds of music. My parents were very musical.
We're not very musical.
We're very musical, okay, and always had something playing. My dad sang opera. His father was an opera singer in Germany. And my mom had a beautiful voice as well. And they just played everything on our little record player, everything from classics to Sousa to pop music. And I guess I heard my first real banjo record after I was playing the instrument. I had just heard my uncle play, and I thought the sound of it was really cool. But to hear somebody play it on a virtuoso level was pretty amazing, and I got hooked on that.
Well, in a way, what you're describing there reflects the particular concert on which you're going to be playing. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly talking with Buddy Wachter, who is appearing with the Danville Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Danville High School Auditorium. And he's going to be playing some with a rhythm section, about 15 minutes, he said, on that particular program. Also playing quite a number of pieces with the orchestra. And then the orchestra also playing on its own. We mentioned some music by Liszt earlier, the Bacchanal from the opera Samson and Delilah by Samson and Delilah by Saint-Saëns, and also some dances for harp and strings by Claude Debussy featuring the symphony's principal harpist, Julia Jameson, who's a wonderful player. And thus, that's another reason that this program called With Strings Attached. And we mentioned a bit earlier that Jeremy Swirling, who's the conductor of the Danville Symphony, is here with us, but without voice. So on a written note here, he says that, quote, "I like to mix classical, light classics, and pops for the last concert of the season," unquote. And this is indeed their last concert of the season, at least until they do their park concert in the summertime. And so what you're describing, Buddy, is really that kind of program in a way, where you're just mixing all kinds of fun stuff just because it's fun and it's great music and people love it.
Yeah.
What do you have for us next?
We'll even be doing a sing-along tomorrow night. So we invite everybody to come out and see us. We're going to have a good time.
What did you bring next? Let's hear another tune.
Oh, let's see.
Your choice.
Okay. We'll do a little blues thing. Here's one I wrote on the plane about 3 months ago. I'll call this Blues for Ryan. That's my son. That you do with a rhythm section and a bass, and you take off and you do jazz improvisation. But unfortunately, we don't have that rhythm section here, so I can't do that.
Is improv a pretty common thing to do on the banjo? I should know the answer to that, but I'm not sure.
Since most banjo is bluegrass stuff, the bluegrass players sort of do improv their way in a particular kind of box. There are guys who stepped outside of that bluegrass box and are doing sort of jazz grass. Guys like Tony Trischka and Bela Fleck are doing that. And it really is more jazz than adapted bluegrass. I grew up in a jazz world playing jazz on a guitar. So it's sort of different than what you hear in the typical acoustic jazz on banjos and guitars and mandolins and that from that bluegrass world. So, yeah, it's very common to do for me growing up as a jazz guitar player, but it probably wouldn't be on banjo for bluegrass players. Whereas they tend to play stuff that's more worked out and together as a solo with an improvisation here and there. This is more like a jazz guitar, the way you're playing it with a flat pick. Do you know?
It seems that a lot of the conversations I've had lately on this program have been with musicians who are taking a traditional area, so let's say traditional Irish music, or for that matter, folk or bluegrass, and bending them, or combining them, or just flat out branching out and stretching the whole definition of either an instrument or a genre. And you're talking about some of that yourself. And you mentioned Bela Fleck, who seems to be doing quite a lot of that, one of the, you know, the bigger names doing a lot of recording and so on. And he's done some work with Yo-Yo Ma, I think, and with the violinist Joshua Bell. And these are guys who are taking the classical area and doing exactly the same thing.
He's stretching them out is what's happening.
It's the age of fusion. Yeah. I mean, in just about every genre at all. And then for to have you come and play with the symphony orchestra with regularity, you're very hip with the times, it seems.
I suppose. Yeah, it hasn't always been that way. And it's unintentional, I assure you. Yeah, they're two dramatically different processes. The making of jazz, just for a minute to talk about it, it's pretty interesting, I think. With concert music, classical music, where you're looking at a note on the page and you're learning to translate that into something that you play out of your hands, you become an interpretive artist who plays a note on the page. And you can get caught up in that. I've never known any great classical player who didn't wish that he could improvise more. The freedom, the feel of that is something he craves. Improvising musicians tend to, even good ones, the best of them, will at an entry level in the jazz world be excellent readers, monstrously good readers. But it's a different process. I would think of it more of as more of an input process with classical players where the note comes in and you translate it and play things. It's more, in jazz, an output process whereby you're listening to what's happening around you. And as a result of a lifetime of experience and study, you're able to interact with that spontaneously, moment to moment, extemporizing lines and creating something new. So it's an outpouring that's more conversational. It's a very complex and sublime internal process and quite different from the input process of reading a note and translating it to an instrument. And this is one reason, I think, why you'll see thousands of 10-year-old virtuosi on violin and piano playing the notes. But you don't see great jazz players at 10 and 12 years old. It just doesn't happen because it's music. The improvisatory nature of it requires life experience, study, years of experience in interaction. It's like conversation, do you know? So they're very different processes. And a fellow that I know at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, Dr. Lim, has developed an MRI that you can attach to somebody while they're playing piano. And you can look him up on the internet and see that these diagrams where when somebody's playing classical music, the frontal cortex is completely engorged with blood. And when somebody's improvising, playing jazz, the blood is not there. It's over here, some here.
Here meaning?
The sides.
Yeah.
So they're different human beings completely, different processes completely. Yeah.
Well, I'm not one of the great classical musicians who admires improvisers. I'm one of the not so great classical musicians who admires improvisers, and I really always have. It just is astounding to me. And I've also talked to people who are some extraordinarily accomplished musicians who one is shocked to learn that they actually don't read music at all.
Mm.
Cole Porter was a really famous one, and I talked on this show to the guitarist Tommy Emmanuel, who said he doesn't read a lick of music, and I just think,
how can you not play like that?
And then, you know, it's sort of like a little bit of a mutual admiration society, but I am just astounded by musicians who are just thorough musicians in the sense that you're from your toes to the top of your head, to your hair if you have any, are musicians all the way through. I mean, those are the people that I find really admirable, Doesn't matter whether you read music, don't read music, improvise, don't improvise.
Yeah, a lot of the greats in jazz, pure improvisatory form, like Django Reinhardt on the guitar, couldn't read and write his name, let alone music, and he was the guy. You know, it's normal.
We're talking with Buddy Wachter, banjoist extraordinaire. What do you call yourself? Banjo player?
Banjo player.
Banjo player.
Yeah, I do.
Playing with the Danville Symphony Orchestra Saturday night. We're having the privilege, of course, of hearing him solo here in our studio at FM 90.9. But he'll be playing a number of works with the symphony, classical works, musical theater, a rag, some Stephen Foster, and then playing a segment with his rhythm section, and the orchestra will be playing a number of things on their own under the direction of Jeremy Swirling. We have just a few minutes left here on Live and Local. What would you like the listeners to leave with as you hear,
In the 1880s, the U.S. had really established itself as a musical force in the world. We had some music, it was okay, but we didn't have the world's attention until this next guy came along, and it was John Philip Sousa. And we'll be doing this piece in the concert tomorrow night, and it's the one that always makes your hair stand on end when the band marches by. Do you know the Marine Band? Or something? And it was, in fact, the first million seller, this piece, in the history of the United States. And I always tell folks, well, what would that mean? MP3 files? No, CDs? No. Records, 78s? No. Sheet music. And according to the census back in the late 1880s, in order for this to be a million seller, it meant one in every three people had to buy a copy. So that's a real million seller. And it was one in every 21 people, I think it was. But this is it. It's John Philip Sousa's Stars and Stripes Forever.
So who have you got playing the piccolo at the end, piccolo part at the end?
Oh, you can do that, yeah. Yeah, I do that too, but you need the orchestra in there to play that part. Yeah. That's the trouble playing solo banjo. If you start one part, you have to let the others go. And you're playing the melody and the rhythm and the harmony part and all of that stuff together.
Well, this is the part we leave to the listener's imagination and as the teaser to actually go to the concert Saturday night.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kevin. It's great to be
here.
Well,
it's my pleasure. I think when we talked, I just figured we'd have a phone interview and be done, and you said, no, let's come and play.
Yeah, it's more
and,
fun that way.
Yeah, it's a whole lot more fun. And inviting folks to go hear Buddy Wachter with the Danville Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Danville High School Auditorium. Jeremy Swirling is their conductor and the silent interviewee of our trio here. He's got a voice that is gone. Hopefully we'll have it back tomorrow night for the concert. But I'm very glad he was able to bring you over. And if you're interested in tickets, you can call the Danville Symphony office at 443-5300, or you can get the concerts at the door. If you'd like more information on the Danville Symphony, go to danvillesymphony.org. And be sure you go to that website, because there are Danville Symphony Orchestras in other states than Illinois. And I found that out the hard way when I nearly looked up a wrong program at one point or another. And if you'd like more information on Buddy Wachter, go to buddywachter.com, I believe. And thank you very much. It's really been a treat to have you.
Thank you, Kevin. Great to be here.
You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Listening to the Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2 by Franz Liszt. And if you heard earlier in our interview here on Live and Local with Buddy Wachter, I was quoting conductor Jeremy Swirling as saying that Hungarian Rhapsody is the sort of the Tom and Jerry concerto that was played on one of those cartoons years ago that you can hear played on the Danville Symphony Orchestra concert in Danville at the high school tomorrow night at 7:30. Here are some of the other concerts going on in our area. This weekend, tonight at 5:30, there's at the Dockside Cafe at Kickapoo Landing at Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood, the bluegrass group called Strings Attached, which is kind of funny because the Danville Symphony Concert also is called With Strings Attached. But any event in Kickapoo, the concert starts tonight at 5:30. Pirates and Petticoats is a play being put on by the Rantoul Theater Group at the Grissom Hall Theater in Rantoul. That's at 8 o'clock tonight, and they're repeating that tomorrow night at 8 o'clock and also Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. There's a concert of chamber music on the campus of University of Illinois School of Music tonight at 6:30 in the Memorial Room of Smith Recital Hall. Leader of the Pack is a musical being performed by the Danville Area Community College Theater and Music Department. That's at Bremer Theater on the DACC campus tonight at 7 o'clock, tomorrow at 7 o'clock as well. Little Women is being performed by the Northridge Middle School Drama Club. That performance at Danville High School tonight at 7, also tomorrow at 4 and 7 o'clock. Cinderella, the ballet with music by Prokofiev, is presented by the Champaign-Urbana Ballet tonight at 7:30, tomorrow at 2 o'clock and 7:30, and then Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. The Central Illinois English Country Dances are performing with live music tonight at 7 o'clock. At the Phillips Recreation Center. I should say it's not so much a performance as a very participatory event, plus live music in performance. Tomorrow, Will Maring, singer-songwriter, guitarist, joined by guitarist Robert Bolin and the Corn Desert Ramblers at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center. That's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in downtown Urbana in the old post office building. Mike Porter with Marsha Banning and Panther Creek Band performing at Perfection Coffee House in Gibson City. That's tomorrow at 5:30. Dinner starts at 5:30, and you can watch the show then. There is a talent show at the Urbana Free Library tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, sponsored by the Chinese Heritage School. Features singing, dancing, juggling, and more. On Sunday night at 7:30, the Spring Concert by the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra. That's going to be in the second floor ballroom of the Illini Union on the U of I campus in Urbana, Sunday night at 7:30. And the Edison Middle School Concert Bands and Jazz Bands performing their annual Spring Concert at Hessel Park in Champaign. That is Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And that is our calendar for today here on Live and Local. Our broadcast is made possible with support from Lincoln Square in Urbana, a lifestyle center with fitness and wellness facilities, including Amara Yoga and Arts, celebrating their grand opening this Saturday, May 9th, with a variety of yoga, Pilates, and art classes. Refreshments will be served. It's going to be mostly cloudy this afternoon with occasional showers and isolated thunderstorms, the high 74. Tonight, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely, the low 52. Tomorrow, partly sunny, windy, and cooler, the high 68. And Sunday, mostly sunny, the high 66. This is WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana. Operating translators, W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. For Live and Local, I'm Kevin Kelly. News is next. Julie Amacher has more music for you beginning at 1:06. It's 64 degrees.